as many of you are aware, I go and plan out over a course of a period of time my messages. I go back and work on them and fine-tune them as closer I get to the time that I'm delivering them. But it is interesting, and some people have challenged me through the years and said, well, how can you do that? How can you be moving to the Spirit of God when you're planning your sermons that far out in advance and working on them? How can you know what the present day events are going to be? How can you be, really ready to be able to be motivated by the Spirit of God for what is currently happening? Believe me, this evening, as we look at this particular message, the house on the rock and the house on the sand and the storms of life, how appropriate is it to what is going on along the east coast of the United States this evening? We would have visual aid after visual aid, and this evening and the next several days, you're going to see those houses that have been built strong to withstand the storm and those that have not. And I hope you remember what we say here this evening in the course of this message. But this evening's message, of course, is taken from the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon that's ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived. I know that through the years, when I deliver messages and stuff, and it strikes different people different times, and they respond to me, and they'll say something to me about that message, and I've always had great difficulty as to what would be the proper response for me to make about that. And I've come up with my own little answer to that for the most part. But I know it's a quandary that a lot of pastors have, and they're not sure exactly how to answer that. And one preacher was shaking hands with the members of the congregation after the service when one man approached him and said, "That was a wonderful sermon today, Pastor." And just filled with Christian modesty, of course, the preacher replied, "Oh, it wasn't me, it was God." And to which the reply came, "I wouldn't say it was that great." So sometimes when we think we're doing the right thing, it doesn't come out exactly the way we want it to. Here's the passage that we're looking at this evening. It's at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, the last illustration, Matthew the 7th chapter, beginning verse 24. "Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the river descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes." Jesus' sermon commanded attention, of course. It had a powerful effect. It made in part because he included the most important things that you can find in a sermon. He had explanations, he had illustrations, and then he had applications as he went along. And I can preach principles, and I can preach illustrations so that people can better understand, but I also need to make application with what I give to you. And then there's that one final step, and that's yours. You have to make a conscious decision to accept the application and then take and self-apply that to your life. And that means making a concrete creation out of all that, which then will last with you when you leave here. You know, life is a never-ending journey of making decisions. And usually it's about two choices. You know, but no decision is big as this one. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? But as we continue in the Christian life, every day we have decisions. And we often come to that fork in the road every day. There are decisions to be made, and we have to make a selection. We have to decide. And truly, there are only two choices, really. There is that of self or pleasing God. Do I please myself, or do I please God? You know, many in our generation today think that they have it all figured out for themselves. and don't accept anyone as having any spiritual authority over them. They act as though they have some side deal with God and some spatial understanding or some spatial arrangement that they have made with God, and that no one will tell them what they should do, nor will they submit to them. Even if they know in their hearts that they have been challenged with the truth. And so they proceed saying, "I'll decide for myself if you please." And sadly, most never get around to making that decision. But may I remind you of the cold, hard fact that to wait is to make a decision, and that decision is to decide no. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Jesus says that you still should build, and you should build on the right foundation. In December 2001, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was finally reopened to the public after being closed for almost a dozen years. And during that time, engineers completed a $25 million renovation work and project, and it was basically made so that they could stabilize that tower. They removed 110 tons of dirt and reduced this famous lean by about 16 inches. And why was this necessary? Because the tower has been tilting further and further away from the vertical for hundreds of years, to the point that the 180-foot tall tower was 17 feet further south than the bottom. And the Italian authorities were concerned that if nothing was done, of course, that it would soon collapse. And what was the problem? Was it bad design? Was it poor workmanship? Was it an inferior grade of marble? No, the problem was what was underneath. You see, the sandy soil on which the city of Pisa was built was just not stable enough to support a monument of this size. And so that the tower had no firm foundation. Matthew 7, verse 24, "Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof." More important than your building skills, more important than how good a material that you consider yourself to be, more important than any human concerns of this, is what foundation am I building upon? You see, both houses looked about the same so long as the sun was shining. But when the storms came, the foundations were revealed. And everyone will build one of two buildings. If you live for things and thrills, then you're building on the sand. You will have nothing to show for your Christian life. If you build on the foundation of Christ, which is the rock, where this is a task in which you're talking about service and sacrifice and submission. And it's talking about making your life a holy life. It's a life patterned after the Word of God and after the holiness of God. It is a life that is surrendered to God. Let's look at this a little closer, and we see that there were two men. Both men faced the same storm. The Bible tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. Perhaps these men were neighbors. They may have even been related. They may have been a father and a son. Maybe one worked with or for the other. We don't know. But there were two men here. But one, it says, one was wise. And verse 24 says, "Every one therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a wise man who built his house upon the rock." He built his house on the rock. He surveyed the area. He determined the weather and the terrain and the culture that required And so he built his house upon the solid rock foundation there. He exercised wisdom in his building. He built a good house. It was solid. It was strong. It was sound. But the other man, it tells us here, was foolish. And he heard the same thing as the wise man did. He had been instructed how to build a good house. He just didn't follow through with what he was taught. He used his own thoughts and ideas. He made the decision to reject the good counsel of those around him that knew about the territory and the terrain and the building structure. And so he didn't listen to them. And so he built his house on the sand. And hear this warning here to us, don't be foolish. There we see then that there were the two men. There were two houses here. And as I said earlier, these houses may have been side by side. Maybe one was across the street from the other. We can be assured that one was not in a higher financial area of town than the other, else they would have this teaching that those who have money will be more apt to accept Christ than the poor. That's not a part of this. The Bible teaches, in fact, just the opposite. They may have looked very much alike when the sun was shining. Perhaps from the street, you could not tell which one was built on the rock and which one was built on the sand. But underneath these two houses, there was a vast difference. It is a difference so great that one would stand and one would fall when the storms came. And when Jesus spoke of the sand here, he meant any philosophy, any lifestyle, any value system not patterned after his teaching. There is much experimenting with various faulty foundations for life. The builder on the sandy place is short-sighted. He did not consider the future. The place of ease and safety was then overwhelmed then by this raging water. The house placed in such a location cannot survive. It will be destroyed. Today, may I tell you to build your spiritual house on the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. He came and he died for your sins. He paid the price that was required by the Father. And then he kept building. As he built his church, and he left and entrusted that to us. And so we keep building. We keep focused on that. He who is the rock is also the master builder. And so we let him keep working on us. When a building contractor begins a building of several stories high, he will get the large earth equipment out, and he will drill down the solid rock in the base in several different positions, and then pour concrete pillars upon that solid rock, and he will build the foundation on that. To build the highest skyscrapers, you've got to go deep, and you've got to find the foundation, and you've got to go deep into that foundation if it's going to stand. And this is exactly what Jesus had in mind for us. Jesus is that solid rock. He is the rock of our foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Be like the wise man today and choose the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust an earthly fame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is only one foundation that will make it through the storm, and that is Christ Jesus. But there was one storm. Notice the manner in which the storm is described in verses 25 and 27. Great was the storm, and it says the winds blew and beat upon that house. If there was two different storms here, they were described exactly the same. It's probably the same storm, but one house stood and one house fell. And verse 25 here says, and the difference in both verses are the same except for one word, says that first it fell not in verse 25, and then it says, and it fell. And only the word not is the one thing that differentiates between those two verses. And what brought out the differences in these two houses? It was the storm. Now, there are different applications, of course, that we can make here. We could liken one to a good, strong Christian home. We could liken the other to a carnal home. The strong Christian home stood the storm, was beautiful afterward. The carnal home fell to the ground in shambles because it was built on the things of this world, and it had a modern mindset. It went with the flow. It followed the current trends. It had the hippiest fashions, the most accepted attitudes of today. However, that's not the application I want to make this evening. The preceding verses in our text would indicate that this is referring to salvation and it's referring to judgment. It is referring to the end time. It is referring to the end judgment that will happen. There is coming a judgment for those that are Christ's elect. It's going to be a wonderful time. There is coming a judgment, but for the lost, it will be to announce your condemnation and placement into the lake of fire to be consumed, become ashes, to have no eternal life. The only difference in these two judgments, in these storms, is going to be the foundation in which you use for your house. What did you build on? Did you build on the rock? Or did you build on the sand? Sand is earthly and is worldly. Sand is destructible. It will not withstand the storm. Notice the terminology in verse 27. It says, and great was the fall of it. What does that mean? Does it mean that it made a lot of noise when it fell? No. Does it mean that it scattered everywhere when it fell? No. Does it mean all the residents were killed? No. No. Revelation 20. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. These verses tell us how great was the fall of that house. The fall was great. It was drastic. It was dreadful. It was pitiful. This man built on the sand. What sin do you have to commit to go to the lake of fire? Unbelief. So what do you have to do in order to go to the lake of fire? Nothing. The Bible teaches that to not accept Him is to reject Him. There is no excuse. Don't put off the decision at hand. Once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, all other things fall into place. If we don't, If we're building on the sand, we'll have a false Christianity and we'll have a profession without a possession. The only thing worse, I believe, than going to the lake of fire is being lost and going to the lake of fire all the while thinking that because of my goodness and my personal favor and my personal standing before God, He's going to let me walk into that kingdom. This need not be. Make sure that your house is built on a solid rock. Certainly, as we conclude here this evening, we give you an opportunity to make that decision. If you want to build your house upon the rock. Listen to the last verse of that hymn that I read earlier. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless, to stand before the throne. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.